Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome to you this Monday evening. You are tuned into another message on the Defend Yourself series. Bishop Dag has been encouraging you to ensure that as a Christian, you are always fully protected by a complete set of spiritual armor. Today's message will reveal another essential part of your armor, the shield of faith. Bishop Dag will teach you why it is vital to have the defense of faith in order to be strong in your Christian walk and ward off the attacks and discouragement of Satan. You will be enlightened and strengthened in the spirit by today's word.
Hallelujah. Well, everybody is welcome once again to the Flow Sunday service. Hallelujah. Very soon, we are going to be seeing ourselves and touching ourselves physically. So, get ready. Those of you who come to church at the First Love Center can be getting ready. We are also getting ready here to receive everybody. Amen. And it's going to be amazing. All right? What the Lord is going to do. Amen. In your life. All right? Now, God is going to do great things. And so I want you to, we have two types of preaching. The one that you can understand and the one that you can't understand. The ones that you can't understand, a lot of them have to do with facts that are spiritual truths. And you just have to accept them.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right? So God is going to do great things in your life.
Amen.
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 So today, our theme for our prophetic offering is like a dream of the night. My life is going to explode into unexplainable realms of breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. Like a dream of the night. My life, that means your business, your career, your ministry, your church, is exploding into realms of unexplainable breakthroughs.
Amen.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like a dream of the night. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Like a dream of the night. It says, we were like people that were dreaming. Karamashabura basanda. A lot of things are going to happen in your life practically that are going to be like dreams coming true.
Amen.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Amen. I am prophesying laughter. You see, laughter is different from smiles. Do you get it?
Yes.
Laughter is different from smiles. When you are laughing, your body has been possessed with the joy, and you undergo reflex movements from your face, from your chest, from your muscles. And then it goes on. And it's like the happiness has gone beyond mental comprehension. Your mouth will be filled with laughter. I am predicting laughter.
Amen.
You are going to laugh.
Amen.
Those who don't believe me, your mouth will be filled with stones. Yes. Now, I know one man, he was in Las Palmas. And he went to eat rice. I don't know, rice and chicken or rice and whatever. And one of the rices was a stone. And when he chewed it, his tooth divided. Now, the dentist that he went to for, a lot of crisis, dental crisis that he encountered was because of that stone in the rice. You are going to escape all forms of stones in your mouth that will make your happiness turn into pain and dental crisis. So when I'm prophesying laughter to you, I don't know why you are even sitting down and just saying, I receive it and whatever. I don't even understand your attitude. Like a dream of the night, your life, which is your business, your career, your ministry, is exploding into realms of inexplainable or unexplainable breakthroughs. Kamara Mashanda La Baba. So sit down. Yes. You should have burst out into unexplainable jumping. That is what I was thinking. In the house, I was expecting you to burst out into unexplainable jumping. Because I'm prophesying, and I'm not expecting you to understand it. I'm not expecting you to reason it out. I'm not expecting you to plan it. I'm not expecting you to understand how. I'm expecting you to believe. That's all. Because I'm reading from the Bible. It's not my idea. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Yes. We were like them that dream. That is where Israel had their 70-year anniversary a couple of years ago. That's when they became a nation. But 1948, 14th of May, they became a nation. And they were not a nation before then. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, we're not a nation. Nobody went there. Nobody said, I'm going to Israel. It was called Palestine. And it had been ruled by Gentiles since AD 70. There was no Hebrew language that was used. It was not written anywhere. There was nowhere in the world that the Hebrew language was used. It was not written anywhere. You get it? There was no school or anywhere. There was nothing. Somebody wrote the language out for them and said, this is a nation and this is our language. Wrote the alphabet, wrote everything for them and reintroduced Hebrew. And they form a nation with a language that has not been used for 2,000 years. Yes, and that is the language that they speak. Even here we are with our tree and our gun. You can see that it cannot be used in the university. Yes, we can only study it as African studies. Or in BEC, what do you call it? Ghanaian languages. Yes. You know? BEC. I don't know why. Anyway. So, like a dream of the night, Kamara Basado Ramanda. Today, Israel, go there. See skyscrapers. When you're flying, you think you are in California. Skyscrapers. It's a nuclear power. Yes. The man who leaked the secret that they were nuclear power, they arrested him because they didn't want people to know they are nuclear. Beautiful. Powerful. Rich. Solid on the ground. 1948, they were not there. You get it? Yeah. And today, you go, people want to go there. A lot of people want to still go to Israel all the time. Because their airport is nicer than Ghana's airport. Ben Gurion International Airport. Yes. There was nothing like El Al Airways. El Al, the Israeli plane. Yes. And now they have their own security, armed forces, planes, tanks, weapons. Hey! When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Today everybody is afraid of the Mossad, the Israeli spies. Is that Tel Aviv? Show them Tel Aviv. Yeah. Yeah. That's Tel Aviv. And that's Joppa in the Bible. Peter went to Joppa. That's Joppa. Remember, he was there when he had the angel. Yeah, go to Joppa and call Peter. That's Joppa. When the Lord turns. So your life is also going to undergo some amazing turns. Amen. Amen. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. I see somebody here listening to me rolling and laugh. You see, grown-ups have stopped laughing, like laughter. Real laughter. They stopped long time. It's true. Grown-ups rarely laugh. They may smile, but not laugh. Yes. Like, there's nothing much to laugh about. Yes. Laughing like they are laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. They are very happy. Wow. But God is filling your mouth with laughter and our tongue with singing. They may sing in church, but not laughter. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Those that were talking about you and criticizing you, they will only be forced to see and say, the Lord has done great things for them. I prophesy great things for you. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Our Father, I thank you for great things that you are doing for us. For everybody who is watching, I know you are building up your people and you are blessing your people and you are going to make us experience things that are like a dream. I praise you, Father. I love you, Father. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8. One of the great things that God is going to do for you is that he's going to give you power to get wealth.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee a job.
No.
Is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You see, wealth is given to people through power. Yes, read it. Anything I say that is not in the Bible, don't look at me as if I am against sanity. No. I'm reading from the Bible. Why do I say power? Because jobs don't necessarily give wealth. People have got good jobs. You know, all through my life, I've seen people having good jobs. When I was left to depend on collections. Yes. My father told me that he doesn't want his son to live off collections. So, obviously, in a certain sense, I was left to, in what seemed to be a bad situation. But the Bible says that those who preach the gospel should live off the gospel. That's what a method God had chosen for me. And what you do, you be ashamed of God's way or you take it. Yes. Now, power. If you don't have power to get wealth, you may have a job, but you don't have the power to be wealthy. Yes. You may have a job, but you don't have power to get wealth. Or you may go to America or Spain to work. You may have a contract in Japan. Or you may tell us, I'm on my way to Cairo. I'll be going to Tokyo. From Tokyo, I'll be in Copenhagen. And then I'll transit through Dubai. And I'll pass through Abidjan and I'll be back in Accra. Wow. But you may not have power to get wealth. Power is needed for your wealth levels to go up. I'm serious. And from my little observation, which I can only tell you, not on the screen, from my observation of wealth rising in different lives, I can see that it takes something more than jobs. Yes. Sometimes patience can cause your wealth level to go higher. Patience. Sometimes faithfulness, like not doing anything special, but just being, just solidly present. Yes. Sometimes somebody can look at you and take a liking for you because you are always there. Pastors have that a lot when they see the same faces in the same chairs. They get used to the people. And they really miss them when they are not in their chairs. So a pastor sort of does what we call congregational mapping when he's preaching. Everybody is in a place in the map. And you are used to this one being there. You are used to this one being there. So it touches the pastor's heart that that person is there. Do you see? Yes. And if the church is big enough, small enough to see, sometimes you can't see some of the people. And the center is going to be a little more difficult to see. Are you there? So, sometimes just being patient, do you see? Or being careful. Do you see? Now, if you look at Mary Magdalene, okay, let's take two Marys. Two Marys. Mary Magdalene and then the Mary who wiped Jesus' feet. Okay, there are two different people. Or is it the same person? They are different people. Now, if you look at Mary Magdalene, and you ask yourself, what did she do for Jesus to give her that privilege to see him raised from the dead? Huh? What did she do? Was she at this... Was she an apostle? Was she a man?
No.
She had seven devils. She was freed from seven devils. And she was around. And she was there at the cross. When Jesus opened his eyes to do his congregational mapping,
I love it.
from the cross. Magdalena was there. John was there. His mother was there. For sure. The Ogbontius, the institutional dons of the organization, were nowhere to be found. But Mary Magdalene was there. So when Jesus was rising from the dead, as to whom he should show himself to, when he saw, he thought to himself, no, Mary Magdalene is a good one. And she came back. She was even interested in his dead body. Yeah, she was interested in his dead body. I mean, those of you who would even say that she wanted to marry Jesus, or she was looking for a husband or whatever, what is somebody doing with a dead body? She was there for the dead body too. You see, there are things that show your commitment. And Jesus chose her to give her the richest of all visions. A vision where you see the person like the gardener. She thought he was the gardener. Those are the type of visions that Kenneth Hagin had. That's why there's so much power in his ministry affecting people. It's the type of vision where the person is physical. You see the person physically and you interact with the person. Like the chairs, this is the person, the carpet, everything physically. And then you also see the person. That's the highest kind of vision you can have. And Kenneth Hagin had a number of those. One in the hospital and one in the hospital and one in the pastor's house, in the pastor's kitchen. Yeah, physically they interact with you. But the hospital was a fantastic one. He sat by the bed. He pulled the chair and he sat by him on his left side. He said, he said, I could have touched him. One of the times he was preaching about it, he said, I could have touched him. He was just there. He described his shoes, his everything. Yes, he was wearing sandals. Kamara Masobara. So what did Magdalene do? She was there. Now what about the other Mary? The one, what did he do for her? The greatest miracle ever recorded in human history since the world began. A man dead, buried for 4 days. And when you die, by the way, just for information, when you die, the organisms in you don't die. Yes. You see, when you die, the bacteria and other organisms in you do not die. They continue to live. And then they eat up the intestines and the body. And sometimes they eat up and move to the surface. So, through that activity, gas is produced, and that's why the body swells. And then it comes to the skin. And then it causes even the foam to come from the mouth, and the tongue comes out of the body, and the color changes. So there's a lot of changes that come because the thing that is in you is still alive, and you're actually happy that you are even there to eat you up. Yes. So even when a dead body has been in a house and you discover the body after some days, there's a scent in the house. And it's actually one of the problems, how to change the scent in the house after you've taken a body out. Now, this, I'm saying all these gory details to help you to understand the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. Yes, it is not healing, no. It's something else. Yeah. It's something else. It's something, I mean, to convert the body back and then to heal the person of the sickness that the person made the person die, and then to spark the body to life, and then for the spirit of the person to come from where it came from. I mean, this is the greatest. Who did he do it for? Mary. And the Bible says it was that Mary who, in John, it says it was that Mary who poured the, what do you call it? Alabaster box of ointment. Do you see? And on Jesus' feet. And wiped his head with his hair. Now one day I saw somebody giving an offering of $500. I know the offering, I remember. $500. And When the person gave the offering, later, some years later, I said to myself, I rather that this $500 has made this person rich. Yes. It was an offering to honor somebody. Yes. I'm explaining to you the power to get wealth is different from the power to work. You may never increase in wealth, though you are in America, Switzerland, Ghana, having a job, having whatever. There are different powers that work that make somebody become wealthy. It's true. Sometimes you earn a lot, but because you go into a debt or a loan, everything is swallowed up. So it's like you didn't have the power or the wisdom to reject it when it came. You thought it was wisdom. So you made the greatest mistake of your life. Sometimes, I'm not saying it's always a mistake, but sometimes it's a mistake. Often it's a mistake. Debt is, never a good thing. Or you have a job and you make a mistake at your job. That takes you on snakes and ladders going down, although you've got the job, but snakes and ladders. Now, you may have the wisdom or the grace to be married by somebody, and that marriage may make you wealthy. But you realize that it's not from working, but from a relationship somehow you were able to get into. I'm trying to explain that there are many hard workers in Mexico, many hard workers in Togo, many hard workers in many places. They are not getting rich, although they work 15 hours a day. And he said, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." Now, in conclusion, I just want to say a few Israelis that I have met, I've met a few Jews. One of the things that I've noticed about them, all right, is that there is nothing unusual to notice about them. What do I mean by that? When they were exported in large numbers from Europe, when they were killing them, and they went to America, many of them got ordinary jobs. Tried to do, someone did a car dealer, someone tried to repair cars, someone tried almost every vocation they tried. One that I met was selling some security items. I met another one selling sound systems. Different things. But where there is a power on that thing, it somehow changes and it becomes a source of wealth. Yeah. Jews as lawyers. When Hitler came, there were 6,000 lawyers, Jewish lawyers, I believe, in Berlin, in Germany. Yeah. It's like, whatever the field is, it's like there's a power. Whether it's IT, whether it's medicine, there are hospitals in America, Beth Israel and something Israel, you see that it's a Jewish hospital, Jewish law firms, Jewish films, news, IT. Yes, you shall remember. But of course, people don't remember. That's why we have to say. Sometimes people don't remember. You have to tell them, remember that I did this for you. It's not nice to say things, but sometimes you have to tell people, I've done this for you, because you may not know how you came to be where you are. Yes. Sometimes I do that. One time I put a plaque on a building with my name myself so that they will remember that I'm the founder of this thing. Let them forget. Yes. People forget things. I've seen a lot of even pastors, bishops, and so on. They forget things. Not that they are on wrangles or whatever, but it's not conscious in their mind. There was a doctor when I was a doctor. I am still a doctor, but there was a doctor when I was at Kolebu. We were all called doctors. This man can operate on you without anesthesia. I mean, he was telling the stories, things he has done. Yes. And when certain problems, he's the only person they can call, he's the only one who can solve it. Yes. So when I am called doctor, it's also called doctor. I must remember that we are not the same. It's on me to remember that we are doctor and doctor. I mean, what do you know? So, you shall remember the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I believe that today, you know, I want you to believe in the power. And I say there are two types of preaching. What you can understand and what you don't understand. Just believe it. And this one, I don't expect you to understand. I can try, but it won't work. And I need you to believe that there is actually a power. Sometimes I look at the church. Even I look at our church, this ministry, I feel that, hey, there is a power at work. Because some of our church buildings in, let's say, one town and somewhere in the north of Zambia, it's like people's headquarters. I'm using that word intentionally. Headquarters. In different places. It's not that I don't know how to speak English. Sometimes when I'm speaking, I want you to bring your English marks for O level, and I also bring mine, and we'll see. But I tell you, sometimes when I look at the different things, I say, wow. Yes. One day I was somewhere in Europe, and I called some of my lay pastors. Maybe there were about 12 of them. And I gave them an idea, a commission. I said, this is an idea that I have. Let's see what God can do. And through their efforts, just that little group, they've raised almost $1 million. Yes, just doing what I suggested. I said, try this. Kamara masupara, power to get wealth. You are going to see dollars in a way you have never seen before. Yes. Yes. I said, you are going to see what? Dollars in a way that you have never seen before. Kama Rama Shabara Mananda Laba. Power to get well. Be on the lookout for the way God wants to bless you. One day I receive an inheritance. And the Lord alerted, because I was being casual about it. And the Lord said to me, no, this is the way I'm prospering you. I'm prospering you through this. Because I was trying to say, no, it's not from working here. And I said, hey, this is the way I'm prospering you. Don't be silly. Don't trivialize it. Don't reduce it to absurdity. This is the way I am blessing you. So there are different ways. So somebody gave you a gift. He said, it's not really a prosperity because it's a gift. If it was a salary, then I'd have known that, yes, God is moving. God is moving on narrow head. Open your head a little wider. Even if your head is too small, you can fill it with some water, at least a little broadness for you to see that God has different ways to prosper you. And I see God blessing you and prospering you. Amen. Your life is about to explode. Amen. Into realms of unexplainable breakthroughs. Amen. Financially. Now, before I ask you to give your offering, and I'm sure you are enjoying these little prophetic sessions, I want you to know that the power to prosper is very much connected to the power to give. Amen. Yes. I've never seen anyone prospering without giving. So much so that you're never sure whether it's the giving that is making him prosper or because he's prospered, he's giving. Wow. That's how it always looks like. You're never sure which one comes first. But what I would say is it doesn't matter which one comes first. What is that? A prosperous person is usually a giving person. Whether he started before or after. But prosperity usually goes with giving. And so you see that not giving goes along with not prospering. Yeah. So I was very happy some years ago when there was an earthquake in Japan and Ghana sent chocolates, Golden Tree chocolates to Japan. I said, look, Ghana is going to prosper. Because we sent what? Golden Tree chocolates as a support for the earthquake in Japan. And it was a blessing. And Ghana is one of the most prosperous nations in West Africa. I mean, our airport is the nicest in the whole. I just have to Johannesburg. Every airport, no airport can compare with ours. Yes. And the city of Accra, I mean, it's a mega city, prosperous nation. Wow. I mean, compared to others. Yes. You may not know limited. Yeah. Amen. We are blessed. So, I challenge you to be a giver. Yes. Stop sitting there and saying that what you have is not prosperity. God has done something, and God is going to turn things around. Your life is going to be like a dreaming life. And laughter is going to come. Your laughter will come from here. You know, can you can know people by their laughter. Yeah. You know, when I was at Legon, I could know where my beloved was by her laughter. You could hear it from far. And I hear that she's around here, but I could hear the laughter, always laughing. Yes. You must marry a cheerful person. Yes. So, everyone here, your life is going to become like a dream. Amen. Do you want a dream? Yes. You say, hey, am I dreaming? I see somebody in Venice. I don't know what you are doing there. But it seems you are in Venice. Kanarama Shabara Balabakaba. Venice, it must be a holiday of some sort. Yes. I don't think there's a job there. There's any job there. Tamekarava so barabadalaba. Yes. You'll be like dream. You say, hey, this prophecy is you. Hey, it's as if it's joking. Oh.
It's for me.
Bishop is always joking. But is he joking? I don't think he's been joking. You will feel that it's not a joke.
Yes.
I've never been chosen to say a joke at a party before. Never. It has not happened up to today. So, receive these words as genuine words from God. Shall come to pass powerfully.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody, take out your best for God today. Cheerfully and happily, take something beautiful and say, Lord, I thank you for a good thing. Makabara Musala. Take your tithes. Take everything. The church runs on your giving. And it is a blessing everywhere you are. A good thing is happening. As you give, you know where to give, wherever you are watching from, in Accra, the center, UK, USA, Botswana, Zambia, Switzerland, Lubumbashi, Nigeria, anywhere, please. Senegal, wherever you are. Just sow your seed, take out, and also give your tithe, everything. If you are watching on television, do it all together. And pay tithes. Don't say, oh, it's a pandemic, so I've stopped paying tithes. Should you stop breathing because it's a pandemic? Yeah. And when this pandemic is over, I will tell you some things, which I'm not telling you now, because when I say now, they will not. So remind me to tell you after the pandemic. And you see, I knew all along, but I didn't want to say it because you cannot bear it. Yes. So take your offering out and let us receive this amazing offering. Your giving must not cease. No. Power. Whether it's power to be patient, power to smile. What did Mary do for Jesus to come all the way to her? Food, oh, she was serving Jesus' food. Uncle James, he told me a secret many years ago. He said, service is beautiful. You will love the person who serves you. He told me. Yes. You will love who? The person who serves you. Yes. And comfort is also like that. You will love a person who comforts you. Ah. Jesus said to the disciples, you are they which have been with me through my tribulations. You were there with me when I was struggling. You will sit on thrones. Thrones you cannot buy. This is Jesus, the bright and morning star, speaking. Yeah. I don't think we even know what stars are. When he says the bright and morning star, we don't even know what it is. He says he is a star. What would you say? You don't know what it is. And don't know how to get there. He is a star, a bright and morning star. Amen? Amen. Are you excited?
Yes.
Is it fantastic? Beautiful? Yes. So, you are being blessed mightily. Amen. God is blessing you as you give. So give generously, freely, support the work of God, and I know you are blessed. Father, bless everybody who is giving. I thank you. There's going to be no lack, no need, no evil upon our finances. We are going from victory to victory, from glory to glory, from grace to grace. And I speak over the people that our lives are going to be like one that dreams. Everything is going to be like a dream. We'll be pinching ourselves to say, Lord, power has come into our life. Somehow, power. Power for what we have to increase. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me give you an example. Amen.
Amen.
When you talk of power to get wealth, if you look at writing a book, many people have written books. So for my books to have reached over 25, over 30 million. And people reading them in different languages. It can never be my writing. There's a power somewhere working. So it's something I notice in the books. And I want you to notice power. Yeah, that's why I say I notice that somebody can be there. A power comes over you and just raises you up financially. Receive that power in your life. In Jesus' name. Whether it's patience, power to be patient, power to be loving. I was telling you, comfort, maybe somebody's, you are serving. That alone. Uncle James told me, service is beautiful. Yes. Comfort, beautiful. You are those who have been with me through my tribulation. You don't even know what it is. Yeah. But there are different things. Kamarama shumbarama. Not that God should show you, but God should make you be what you ought to be. Yes. Beautiful. You are blessed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. In case you wanted to know the name of that last dance they did, it's called the Yovela. So learn it at home, and it's a blessing. What do you think? I don't know about where you are, but it's already raining here in Accra, and I believe it's a prophetic token of the presence of God, and there's a nice breeze here in the studio, and I hope you're all settled and ready to hear the word of God. Amen. Can you hear me at home? Can you hear me in the studio? Cameraman, can you hear me? Just making sure. We're about to hear the word of God. This is my favorite part of the service. And the Bible says, I have spoken by the prophets. And many times when God wants to speak to us, he speaks using the vessel of a prophet. Amen. And I believe today is no exception. We're about to hear from God. I don't know about you. When I come to church, I always hear something from the Lord. And I know today is no exception. The word of God is about to be opened and our lives are about to be blessed. Tell your neighbor, your heart is about to be blessed. And lay hands on your, or not, don't lay hands, but lay hands on your neighbor and say, be open to the word in Jesus' name. Right before we have our pastor and our prophet coming up to preach, we usually sing a song that says, nothing is impossible. And we believe here in the First Love Church that nothing is impossible when we trust the Lord.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Cameraman, sing it along.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee.
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
For everything,
for everything, for everything, yes, everything is possible
with God. Come on, all over the world, one last time, let's sing. Nothing is impossible.
Impossible when you put your trust in God.
Come on, nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when we're trusting in His word.
I'll say, hearken to the voice. Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me?
Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible.
Give the Lord a clap offering, a shout of victory, and let's welcome Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for today and your great blessing you give to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and we are discussing or preaching about defending yourself. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible tells us that we must put on the whole armor of God and protect ourselves from onslaughts of creatures that can see us, but we cannot see them. And their modus operandi is a little hidden from us, how they operate, how they work. But we know they have influences, they deceive, they lie, they push, they prod, and they work through people. Perhaps I would say to you that the best way you can see a devil working in your life is from a living human being. A living human being. What a living human being can do to you is sometimes what a devil is doing. That is why Jesus said, one of you is a devil. So it's like, literally, your behavior is like if the devil was to take up a human form. That's it. You are there, practicing. So, many things people do are what a devil does. You get what I'm saying? Yes. So, we must be ready to overcome, and we must put the devil on the run. We can't be defending all the time. So, there are different things you're supposed to do. Have your loins get about with truth. Okay? Telling yourself the truth and being a peddler of the truth is one of the main things. And it's the first. It's the first. It's the first big thing. Truth. All right? Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, I just want to stay a bit on the truth. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, if you are God has called you to the ministry, and I'm preaching about the ministry shamelessly. If you don't want to hear about the ministry, I think you should go to another church. Right? Now, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, But have done what? The first thing when you go to the ministry is renouncing hidden things of dishonesty. Yes. You see, and you notice that many people who want to be in the ministry, want to serve God, don't realize that hidden things of dishonesty must first be cleared out. Hidden things. First of all, that is hidden. People don't know. And nobody knows. Or one or two people who don't matter know. But those who matter don't know. Do you see? Yes. So we renounce hidden lives. And when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was to go into hiding. So anything that you do in hiding, do you see? You have to ask yourself whether it's compatible with the ministry. So we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, dishonest, what does dishonest mean? Can somebody check what it means to be honest or dishonest? I don't think we know what is the meaning of dishonesty. Maybe to help us. But and then not walking in craftiness. Dishonest means dishonorable, shameful, indecent, wanting in honesty. Wanting in honesty. Void of integrity. Disposed to cheat or defraud. Not trustworthy as a dishonest man. Do you see? Huh? Characterized by fraud. Forgive. It's not a good word at all. And what about honest? What does it mean to be honest? Because dishonest is meaning something. Maybe honest will also mean something different. Honesty. Decent. Do you see? Honorable. Suitable. Or even those who studied English are surprised. Characterized by integrity or fairness. Straight. Forwardness in conduct, thought, and speech. Truthful. Sincere. Free from fraud. Guile or duplicity. Duplicity is two lives. One life is known, one life is unknown. Like we leave church and everybody thinks you are going home, but you are not going home. Yes. Yes. Everybody thinks you are somewhere, but you are not there. Yes. And because a mobile phone can answer in different places, and it's the same voice, but you can be on the seventh floor or the third floor. You get what I'm saying? You use that mobile to deceive. Are you? Also, oh yeah, I'm in town. You are not in town. You know where you are. So I said, oh, I'm what? Oh yeah, I'm at whatever. You are not. Duplicity. Duplicate. So I'm just saying that right at the outset of ministry. Seeing we have received this ministry, we have renounced hidden things that are not straightforward. If you want to do well, and if you don't, you open wide up. So everybody who has this duplicated life, duplicity, hidden things, God is speaking to you so that your life is clear. Yes. your life is clear. Now, not walking in craftiness. Craftiness, you can also check craftiness, the people. But you see that it's like the more dishonest your life is, the more crafty you must be. Wow. Yes. The more good at acting. You know, I was watching a film once. The person asked the other person, "You should get a job at Hollywood." I mean, they were acting. Is it because you are good at acting? Wow. Yes. So you get a job at Hollywood or Nollywood because you are good at acting. All right? Dexterity in devising and effecting a purpose. Cunning, artifice, stratagem. Yes. Craftiness. The definition itself needs explanation. So better get another dictionary, please. Get a basic dictionary, okay? We can't understand all the. We have to explain dexterity and all these cunning, artifice, stratagems, what have you. Aha. Skill in deception. Slyness. You can see that this is a dark character. Sly. You never know what the person is up to. You never know what the person is up to. You think the person is here, but the person is somewhere else. Sly. Not, never let anybody give you such a nickname like Sly. It's not a good... Yeah, a lot of Sylvesters are called Sly. I don't think you should accept that. It's like almost calling you crafty. Rather crafty. Or Sly. Now, since we have received ministry, we are disbanding hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by what? Manifestations of the truth. You see, there are things that are manifestations of truth. After a while, you see that, oh, the person is telling the truth. It's called manifestations of truth. And by manifestations of truth, you recommend yourself. People realize that you were telling the truth. When I told people, give whatever so that we will buy this or we'll build a church, after some that manifestation of the truth that the building that they were given is there. Somebody has risked his life to travel there to go and dedicate it. And those are people dedicating the church. After a while, you can see this building is in Zambia, it's in Mozambique, it's here. It's a manifestation of the truth which recommends you to people's innermost conscience that this thing is genuine. And you have to do things that are manifestations of truth that recommend you to the conscience of people. And they know in their depth of their heart that this thing is true. And all of us need that. Yes. So that's why those who are specialists of sitting at the back, specialists of being in the midst of the trees, specialists of always having a shady, cloudy, mystical something about you, is not a good thing. You may think you are cleverer than everybody, faster than everyone, craftiness. But in the end, it opens you up to evil spirits. I'm just talking about evil spirits, not about anybody. Just that evil spirits gaining access to people. So you see that such a person who has hidden things of dishonesty and craftiness becomes exposed to more types of evil because they never come alone. Other evils come. That's why HIV is associated with immorality, but it's associated with sickness. It's also associated with serious disease, is associated with poverty, is associated with death. So it's like a number of things come in. It looks like first like one thing, then it becomes another and another and another until there's a whole conglomerate. Are you there? Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. But I hope you people are getting this and becoming more afraid of this type of thing because I think, you know, depend on the culture. You are like this. You see, I mean, I don't know if I'm right, but the difference between a Nigerian and a Ghanaian is that Nigerian will be quite clear what they are doing. And the Ghanaians, we are like this, doing all the same things. It's like you can't see what he's doing, but he's doing it. He's doing it. Ali, I've heard that comment about the two cultures. Yeah. Yes, if you are being opposed, you'll not be opposed openly. In a Ghanaian culture, you'll be opposed insidiously. Yes. Hello, good morning. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the grace, by the grace. By the grace. We attend funerals, sit there, smile, look there, humble, this, everything flowing. And then something else is going on behind the scene. Yeah. So you can have terrible orangus. Ghanaian orangus, terrible. And Nigerian orangus too, also terrible. But more open. You'll know that it's happening. In fact, you'll be expecting it to happen. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So craftiness must end in our lives.
Amen.
Every dishonest hidden thing. Do you see? I'm speaking especially to those of us young people that want to be in the ministry. You get what I'm saying? Try to bring your life out of hiding and denounce all things that are some way. So that from now, even if up to now, you have been, when people see you, they think they are looking at a tree in the forest. But you, when they come closer, say, ha, it's a human being. So you've mixed up with the trees. That's what Adam and Eve did. They said they were standing in the midst of the trees in the garden. So you see the trees that you see the forest. And forests are like that. From afar, it looks like one tree. But as you get there, I said there are many trees. Then as you get even closer, I see that one is a man. Or some of them are men. Yes. And he heard the voice of the Lord God walking, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They wanted to be trees now. You'll never be found in dishonesty again.
Amen.
Would you like to put a dishonest person in charge of your money? Yes, the person has no shame to eat. You know, Mike Medok was describing somebody who stole his money. He said, if the person stole $40,000 or $70,000, a lady, without blinking an eye, she was just standing there like that. She just stole the money like that, without blinking an eye. She was a thief. Yes. No blinking like that. She's just plain face. Yes. And you see, such people are able to infiltrate and be in the ministry. And they can do things without blinking. No one suspects them. When you watch films, you see where the traitor is acting. You see that the person is trusting the traitor. Then you'll be saying, no, don't tell him. Don't tell him. Yeah, don't tell him. Then you will tell the person, then things will get worse. They say, yeah. They said, this person, he trusts the person. Don't trust this person. You'll be shouting in your chair. Don't trust it. Don't. And then you also try, because he doesn't know. You'll never be called a monkey traitor.
Amen.
You never be a monkey unarata. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey. Do you want it?
No.
No. Monkey. Monkey. Okay, let's go on, please. Otherwise, we get stuck here. Take unto you the whole armor. Stand with your loins, get about with truth. having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, faith is a shield of protection. So everybody, take note of this amazing revelation. I didn't even know. When the devil attacks you with darts, okay, the way to quench attacks, okay, is faith. Amazing. It is a way to put out fires. It is a way to put out fires and darts. Read it from yourself. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which means using faith, okay? Using faith with using faith, you can quench all fiery darts. And one of the things about the devil's attacks is that they are spreading things. Fire, it lands on and then it catches fire and spreads to every other thing. Yes. So that's why fire is a danger. When anytime people see fire, realize the danger is that even from the next house, it can come to your house. When September 11 happened, it was not only the Twin Towers which came down. The next and the next and the next, they were all spoiled. Because it spreads. Until you even have to see what has been spoiled. So, the way, and I'm telling you, this is a clear thing. So now the enemy has attacked. What you will do? Faith, according to the Bible, not my idea, because I can't see demons. But according to the Bible, faith is a quencher. Now, if you wouldn't mind, take my book, Faith Secrets. You'll find out that almost every chapter is helping you to see how it is quenching the fiery darts of the enemy. Let's just start with chapter 1. If you wouldn't mind, if you have your book, if you don't have your copy, fine. But I prefer you to not look at any gadget so that I have either right to preach to people who are not looking at their phones. It's a right. Yes. Chapter 1 says, faith is obedience and obedience is faith. And it says, faith is equated to obedience in the Bible. And you can see from several examples which are in chapter 1 that faith is obedience. Deuteronomy 9:22 says, at Tabera, all right, you provoke the Lord. Likewise, when the Lord sent you to Kadesh Barnea, saying, go and possess the land, all right, you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. You believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. So you don't believe, you don't obey. I found out that people who don't believe don't obey because they don't believe what I'm saying. And the Bible is saying that, are you attacked? Beautiful. Starting to obey God is going to start to put out those things. It's going to start the end of that attack. Yes. Another verse, 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient. You see, those who believe is like this, but to the disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Amen. Unto you which believe, which is faith. Those who believe, he is precious. On the other hand, those who are disobedient. So the opposite of believing is disobedience. And I'm telling you that faith puts out fires and puts out blocks, things that are supposed to wipe you out. So whatever has gone wrong in your life, that is to wipe you out. Start obeying certain things and watch and see. Those fires will go out, and the thing which was meant to strike you out will not work. It will not work. Obedience is faith, and faith is obedience. So if your disobedience has brought poverty into your life and your lack of believing, then start believing. That means you start lifting up the shield of faith. Wow. And it starts blocking the fiery darts that are coming your way. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not. She did what? She obeyed not. She trusted not. She received not correction. She drew not near to her God. So you see, all these knots, put the verse back there, are clear. She obeyed not, received not correction, trusted not, trusting not, obeying not, not being corrected. And somebody who doesn't want to be corrected, he also doesn't believe, also some way. Because God's love goes with his correction. You know, the Bible says that God is a merciful God, showing mercy to thousands. Do you see? And he will not let the wicked or the sin go unpunished. So his punishment goes with his love. Yes. His mercy and his punishment, they are together. So when in Zephaniah 3 and verse 1 and 2, you are not obeying, not trusting, are you with me? Not receiving, not being corrected. Also, of course, why would you be corrected when you don't believe things? How can you even be corrected? It's even worse. Well, when correcting people who are some way don't want to be corrected, they develop bad attitudes for being corrected. I once lashed my son, and you don't know which one it is. And after the lashing, his face was bad attitude. So I called him back and I lashed him for the face. Straight in the face. Yes. Zephaniah chapter 3. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She obeyed not. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, when Abraham was called to go out to a place which he should receive, obeyed. You see, by faith, when he was called, he obeyed. Obey is faith. Faith is obeying. Obeying is faith. And faith starts putting out things. I don't want to let it be mystical to you. Obeying is faith. Trusting starts to end crisis. It ends issues. It ends calamities and catastrophes. When say, that has come here, that has come here, that has come here, fire all around, smoke, fear. Start obeying God in things you don't obey. And see the effect of it. Faith is obedience. And obedience is faith. Amen. Amen. Are you there? So, chapter 3 says, faith is obedience in little things. Yeah. Faith is obedience in little things. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which spake unto him. This prophet had been sent to prophesy against Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the guy who came after Solomon. And he was doing the wrong thing. And God sent him, go and prophesy and perform a sign and a wonder. And he did. And he told him, do all this and don't eat bread in Bethel. That's all. Just have lunch at another place. He risked his life to give this great prophecy. But he was also given a small instruction for his dinner. Do not have the dinner in the city of Bethel. Eat your dinner outside. This was a far easier. Sometimes when you think of the things that God tells us, the easy ones are the ones that we don't even like to do. It's true. The easy ones are the ones that we don't like. Like, it's not a beye instruction. It's not what? Beye. I don't know what it means. You can check from the Google it and see. The prophet obeyed the big instructions, but failed to obey the minor instructions. Hallelujah. And behold, there came a man out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and said, O altar, that says the Lord, a child shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, specifically by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense. And men's bones shall be burnt on thee. And he gave a sign. He gave what? A sign. This is a big ministry. The same they say, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth dried up, so he could not pull it again. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out, according to the sign which the man of God had said. Is it not a big ministry? Against the king and the army and everything. The king spread his hand on the hand got stuck. And then he said the ashes will fall down. And the altar got broken and fell down. Just as he said, this is the sign. I mean, this is a big thing. Can you imagine going to a president to go and prophesy something like this? People don't like these type of things. And he prophesied and gave the name of the man who is coming called Josiah. That there's a man called, and Josiah came. Josiah came later. I mean, I heard that somebody who wrote a will 2 years before the person was born and said that there shall be born a son. Do you see? And he will be, and this will be his name. And so they put the name in the will. Yes. And based on that, they went to court for more than 20 years. Yes, because how can you write somebody's name, somebody who has not been born? And you are saying, whether it will even be a boy or girl, you don't know. And the lady was almost 50, 40-something years old. So how can you say that she's going to give birth in 2 years at her age, and it will be a boy, and this will be the name? And so, because the boy was alive when the will was being read in 1980-something, the boy was there. Do you see? So they challenged the will. They say it's a forgery. So that's the kind of thing this prophet did. He said, somebody is coming, he's called Josiah. He's going to come one day. And he's a wild man. He's going to burn all the priests and burn their ashes on this altar. All these things he did, and he was so powerful. And he said, just when you are eating, don't eat here. Don't eat here. It's like I said, don't eat here. Just go to another place to eat. That's the part he didn't obey. And when he was going, somebody called him back. So come, and the old prophet says you should come and eat. He said, no, he's insisting that you should come and eat. So he went back and he ate. After this wild signs and wonders, which the old prophet had not done. When an old prophet even tells you to do something which is contrary to the word of God, Don't do it. He cannot go higher than the word of God. He went back and it cost him his life. What small things are you disobeying that are allowing fires to spread in your life? Faith is established to be obedience, and obedience is faith. Believe that even eating in Bethel has an importance. You have to believe it. It is important. It is the trivializing and reducing in your head instructions which are given by God. That is what makes people trivialize and disobey. You have to trivialize it to disobey it. And so, don't dishonor this. Don't do this. You have to bring it down from its high, lofty place and bring it to something that's not important. I've done all this. God has used me. So don't eat here. So that one too has a relevance in the whole ministry. So brothers and sisters, I can see that spreading of fires, amen, is going to continue in your life when you don't obey God's commandment. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. I'm reading chapter 4 now. Faith is to obey pleasurable commands. You can read the book yourself. Yes, you can read it yourself. What are the pleasurable commands? Genesis chapter 18. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. That means no more monthly periods. She was now an established old lady. Established what?
Old lady.
Old lady. Her time was what? Past. Young chicks were moving around, except Sarah. All the hair on her body was white. Yes. Kanama saparaba. And therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, like a lot of Christian wives, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Shall I have pleasure? This is the attitude of 90% of Christian wives. Yes. After they've got husband, ring, this, that. Shall I have pleasure after? They don't say after I'm wax old. No. But they are old in their heads. So they are saying the same message. Yes. Shall I have pleasure? If you want pleasure, shall I have pleasure? I don't need no pleasure. I mean, she was offended. Sarah was offended. She was not happy with this instruction at all. Meanwhile, you've got a problem. A fiery dart of barrenness has been thrown at you. And the fiery dart of barrenness, the fire and the trouble that it has brought to your life and your existence can be ended by doing something that can be done. Shave off those white hairs from your head or your body. Put on a wig and change it to black. Get a dress and try to see if you can get the old man by the power of God. Look, Sarah gave birth to Isaac not because she was a virgin. Whom the Holy Ghost moved on. It is Mary who was a virgin. The others were not virgins. Yes. Mary was the virgin, not Sarah. She did not have, by the Holy Ghost, give birth to Isaac. I can see many times when God gives instructions that are pleasurable. Do this. Do this. No, they don't. That's my experience. And then the fiery dart of adultery, fornication, divorce, unhappiness, treachery, and all other things, they are, the darts are moving. And now prostate diseases and other HIVs and more things coming. Faith is obedience, and obedience. I've not yet seen people that have certain problems who don't open the door to the enemy by disobeying small things. I've not yet seen one before. Yes. Chapter 5. Faith is to go forward. Yes. Yes. Going forward ends a lot of issues. Going forward, that's what ends a lot of issues. Yes. Going forward ends a lot of issues. Look. If you want to wipe out certain things, you have to learn to have faith. And faith is to go for. Look, I'm reading from my book, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 22. At Tabera and at Massah and at Kibroth Hattaava, ye provoked the Lord to wrath. Why? Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and you believed him not. You believed him not, not hearkening to his voice. You didn't believe him when he said, go forward. When he said what? Go forward. That's faith. Move forward. Many, many attacks are quenched by just going forward. It's true. Just let's move on to the next chapter of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Move forward to the next chapter of your life.
Amen.
And you quench that attack that seems to be ready to finish you off. Amen. He said, when the Lord said to you, go, you rebelled and believed not. You didn't believe in the going instruction. Just move forward.
Come on.
I will say for myself, perhaps one of the greatest anti-satanic shields that have been lifted up in my life over the years has been go forward. When he has said to me, okay, move, go here, go here. It ended many fiery darts. Oh, yes. When go and do a crusade. It ended certain things. Go First Love Church. Go. Start again. Dude, it ended certain things. Go here. It ended this. Move to this place. It ended certain attacks. Sometimes our places I've been to have camps. The people develop an air of familiarity. And also, go here also to have a camp. Go here to do this. Reach out here. Go forward. It was the, it like that. That thing became like nothing. You know, when I was in Geneva, Geneva is the first branch of the church. Geneva. And when I was there to start the church in 1982. When I was there to start the church in 1992. Are you with me? I was staying in a hostel. And the man next door, everybody in the hostel was a white man. But the man next door had a typewriter. And he put the typewriter on the wall that separates his room from my room. And he used to type into my room. I just remember that scene. And I was thinking that I would just allow these people, you know, if you do make any noise, you see how they will. So he was typing into me. I was in that room lying on the bed when the Holy Spirit said to me, go and start a church in London. I said, me? London? How? Why? Because there were already great churches even from Ghana that had even gone to London. I didn't know the kind of attack that was coming to our church in Geneva. Eh? That's 92. 1993, when the Lord, I was praying there when this man was typing. The Holy Spirit also said, go to London and also go and start a church. Go to London. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go When the enemy came like a flood, so that's 92 October, and I was around around 92 then. 1993, 14th May, was my birthday. I was 30 years old, and I was in London starting a church in obedience to what God had told me. I didn't even know what it meant. Yes. When the enemy came, attack, criticism, orangus taste. Hey! I just thank the Lord that Go Forward has been a quencher of many, many fiery darts of the enemy. So what dart is in your life? You know, today when I think of, let's say, Zambia Crusades, I've forgotten about it. The recent one is Abidjan. When I think of KJB Crusade or Kintampo Crusade, I've forgotten about it because more crusades have happened since then. I can't even remember. Nigeria was even 10 years ago that we were there. 10 years have gone by since we were in Nigeria. You forget as you move forward whatever the enemy seemed to be doing or whatever. He becomes insignificant at the moment. You are like some dead dog who is backing his last few bucks before you finally are thrown into the dustbin. Katamarabasa. All dogs that are backing against you shall end up in the dustbin in Jesus' name. Faith is to go forward. If you are a man of faith, you must move forward. Move forward and exercise your faith by moving forward. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, mata paro mandala baba. Halo kataba taro mandalibe. Tero mandalaba. Tarabandalaba. Tamorandaliba. Chapter 6 is what is in the book. Faith is a small step of obedience. Yes. You can read it after church. Faith is what? A small step of obedience. Isaiah 29 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand? From them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept shall be upon precept. Line upon a line. Here a little and there a little. Are you a man of faith? Do not say that it's impossible to walk by faith. God has made it possible for you to walk by faith. By creating a walk that involves many little steps. Faith is not the obeying of one huge, near impossible jump. No. Faith is rather the obedience of one small step. Think of all the heroes of faith God used. Most of them took one small step. His commandments are quite possible for you to obey because they always have one step at a time. Small step. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, his commandments is not something, you know, huge. Yes. Before God told Abraham to kill Isaac, he had told him to leave his father and his mother and told him to leave his country and told him to believe that one day his descendants will come out of Egypt and that he would have this and that. Different things. All of it. Isaac was the last one. After that, it was marriage and her children throughout. Isaac was the last big one. So those who are things of God will say, go to the whatever field. You are in Birmingham. You are in Accra. You can't witness next door. You can't even organize some few people. And you say God has sent you. You will be there on a mission to El Salvador. Do you know what is in El Salvador? Do you know what is in Honduras? They are declared the most dangerous countries in the whole world. Huh? Start right in Dansoman or wherever you are. Sampaman. You can't start online. Online, you can't start Wasenta. Wasenta that does not involve movement. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are something small. That's what I've noticed over the years. God hasn't told me like big things that I can't do. Usually there's something to do that takes me to the next, 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 to the next. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what did Rahab do to be called a hero of faith? Rahab the harlot gave her house to visitors. She provided the services of a harlot to Israeli spies. One at a time. There were 12 spies. This was something she was used to doing. Maybe for you it would have been a very big step. But for her, she was there to service clients. When new clients came, she said, no problem. If you've ever seen prostitutes, whatever, they queue. Sometimes they sit, you see the door here, they sit in a row like that. They're all waiting. Different men. Big stomach, small stomach, this, beards, without beards, whatever. They sit in rows with a chair. There are chairs, like a clinic, people going to a clinic. You see them all sitting there waiting. And they go next, and they have a time that if you pay this amount, you can only stay a certain amount of time. No matter what you are doing, you must finish within this time and go out. Then they clean, then the next person, you've not seen it before. You've not been to prostitute before. I hope not. Hey! The only difference for Rahab was instead of Jericho guys, it was Israeli guys. So the step was not very big. It's almost in line with your work. And when they were going refreshed in the morning, she said, remember me. Remember me. I gave you everything. Food, this, I kept you. You know, one day I watch a film. And the lady in the film, she was like a star. She came to marry her husband. When she arrived, her husband was killed the day before she arrived. So it was a tragedy as she arrived. Hey, and the music they play in the film, it was something. So nobody knew who she was. She was coming with a train. And she came to the house. When she came to the house, the whole house was for her because she was the wife. Everybody has been killed. Now, later in the film, a man came there. When he saw, he said, hey, you are here. Everybody in Louisiana is missing you. They know her. She said, everybody's been asking of you. Because she was a prostitute from Louisiana. Every man in Louisiana knows her. She cares for her. And they, when she left, the whole thing changed. They were not happy. Yes. The city was affected. Kamashakaya. Are you listening to me? It's the oldest trade. Yes. He said, how are you? They are all missing you over there. I think it was Louisiana. Yeah. Louisiana. See, they miss you there. So this spy, the guys remembered her. She told them, remember me, oh, I helped you. I loved you. I cared for you. I kept you overnight. You were okay. Huh? I serviced you. You don't want to think about that part. Yeah, you holier than thou. Holier than thou. Airbnb. Amen? Wow. What did Abraham have to do to be included in the heroes of faith? had to have sex with his old wife. A small step. Not so big. What did Moses have to do to become a man of faith? Throw a stick on the ground. I'm sure he has thrown down many sticks before. This time he was to do something like that, but this time with faith. Your instruction from God, remember, amen, is always a small step of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And it goes on and on and on and on. Many, many things. But every bad situation is reversible by faith. Chapter 19. Every bad situation is reversible by faith. Jesus, groaning in himself, came to the grave and said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Every bad news and bad situation, dead and stinking thing of your life, can be reversed by faith in God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That means it can be reversed by a small step of obedience. It can be reversed by something that is not as a big step even. Can be reversed. Said I not unto thee that if thou shouldest believe, which means what? Faith is obedience. Faith is small. Obedience is small. Faith is obedience in little steps. If you take little steps, did I not say that you will see my glory? I told you. It's time for us to believe in the little steps. Sometimes to even become a great man of God is just to go and rather get a job in another town. Not even to be full-time, but even to go and get a job or even to go to a university in another nation. To go and learn a language. A small step will turn you into a national hero one day. People are waiting for big things to do. Said I not unto thee that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Every negative thing in your life can be reversed by faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Faith will block every arrow targeted at you. Oh yes. Anything targeted at you that has targeted you and located you. You know, you may not know. You may not know when I say targeted. I'll tell you that if you are a precious life. You see, one day after I had an accident, I read in a book about near-death experience. It said that anybody who God uses, usually you will find out at a point that there's some plan or almost something that the person can relate to, that this thing could have quenched me. Yes. It would have wiped me out. Because for an arrow to come, it means you must have been located and spotted. And the thing is shooting for you. It's like it seemed to know you. It seemed to know where you are. Because if I shoot here, it's different. 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 So the thing must be fixated on you. There are demons who have eyes fixed on you. Eyes fixed on you. They look at you longingly and then they target. Ow. But faith will block everything that seems to want you in particular to be wiped out. Have faith in God. Move forward when he says move forward. Take the little steps when he says take the little steps. Tamaraba shataboka sambaraba. Chapter 22. Faith will put out every fire that is burning in your life. Faith. What is burning? Fire. Look, if you've ever come, when we did a bonfire during the battle of the Lord, that's when I respected fire. That was when I respected fire. The destructive nature of fire. Pray you never, even to breathe. I've been in the fire before where I thought it, I didn't know what it was. I ran through and I inhaled small. I understood why people die. From breathing, they cannot breathe. If a little smoke goes into your lungs, it closes up. Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and quenched the violence of fire. Fire in your life is quenched by faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God. Obey Him. It will quench fire. Fire. The violence of fire is quenched by faith. And faith comes by hearing. The more you hear the word, the more you listen to preaching, the more you give yourself to obeying God, the more it's putting out fire in your life. When I stand here to preach, when I stand to preach and it's like, I should preach about something that is relevant, something which is vocational, something which is life skill, something that will help people's lives to their practical businesses. It's like what I'm preaching is not realistic or practical. You see, it's like preaching the word rather, okay? It quenches the fire that wants to wipe out all churches. All the churches you see being built all over the place, they would have been wiped out by fire if I have not obeyed God to preach about shepherding and to encourage people in camp meetings to serve God with their lives. Like how these people were singing on the song there, I can't go without your presence. And I'm going on a mission. I'm going. And I'm going with your presence. To encourage the young people. The fires would have burnt all the churches and the whole ministry would be down. Obeying God. Obeying God. It quenches the fires. Obeying God, it wipes out things that are spreading. Look at the fiery dart. Amazing. It's coming. Targeting you. Paramakasata paramandula. Matare boshakada. By faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not burn. You will not burn. Your skin will not burn. By faith, a bullet will not enter you. By faith, the bullet will miss your heart and every vital structure in your body. Just 2 weeks ago, one of our pastors and son were attacked by armed robbers. They shot them. And the bullet entered right here, the chest. And I saw it myself. Turned right. The bullet turned right. Missed the heart. Missed the other structures. And came out on the side of the chest. Armed robbers in Ghana. Marakata. It is written here. It said, by faith, a bullet will not enter. By faith, the bullet will miss your heart and every vital structure in your body. By faith, terrorists will not find you. By faith, armed robbers will not enter your dwelling place. The eye of the evil one who seeks to destroy you will go blind before he gets to you. The plans to invade your house will fail. Amen. By faith. Amen. By faith. You will escape every single attack. Every violent and forceful effort to remove you from this earth will not succeed. Do you believe in the word of God? So keep listening to messages. Any message you listen to, whether it's about faith or not, it increases your faith. Because faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say what you hear. Anything you hear increases by faith. Once it's the word. Soak in the word. Let your faith be what? Huge. Let your faith be what? Huge. And I see the enemy is very sad to hear this message today because it's the quencher. As for attack, you'll be attacked. If you think you are going to, Kenneth Hagin used to say, he used this phrase, if you think you're going to float around in life on flowery beds of ease, then you are mistaken. There's nothing like flowery beds of ease. Uncle James used to tell me, the devil does not attack a dead piece of wood. He said, because you are active and you are serving the Lord, that's why the devil's attacking you. That's what Uncle James used to tell me. The devil does not attack a dead piece of wood. It's because you are not a dead piece of wood, useless to God. That's why the enemy looks at you and says, ah, have you taken this one out? You don't leave him. Don't leave her. Don't leave her. It's not good for us. Faith is to go forward. Faith is to go. Maybe if you had stayed at the same spot, it would have finished you. By stepping one step forward, it goes to the back and says, ah! Keep moving. Keep obeying. Keep obeying little things. Yes. My father in Malaysia, one of the fathers God gave me, the other day I was thanking him. I said, thank you for the dinners you had with me. Dinners that I was eating with you. Thank you for the lessons. He said to me, I am overwhelmed by your humility. I said, thank you for the lessons at the dining table you gave to me many times, I told him. Thank you for hosting me. Thank you for all those little things. Taking me around the city of Kuala Lumpur, showing me this. Taking me up to a rotating restaurant to look at the city, pointing me out who are the owners of things. Thank you for giving me money to go shopping with my wife, looking after me as though I'm important. Thank you. Little things. Thank you for telling me to preach in my church, and that when I preach in my church, people will know who is the owner of the church and who is the leader of the church. You know, many little things, they make a big difference if you believe. If you believe. The day he told me, he said to me, he gave me some advice, health, because I wasn't well. He said, no, be careful. This you have to be, if you are young, if you grow older, it will not be good. May God give you the grace to hear and believe and obey so that you escape and quench all fiery darts of the enemy. Lift your hand and thank God. Everyone stand, please stand in your house, stand up in your room. Don't sit down, don't make lunch whilst I'm preaching, please. And don't eat at this time. Be in the presence of God. Makabaroma sandala mamandalaba. Pakabarundala masitole beke barabalide. Mentala makabarandali baba. Halaga kabarando lama. Pazede le man barabaka palo de bedede. Menta ba 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 la mandala. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, your love, your power, your grace. Faith is an unstoppable force. Faith will quench the violence of fire. Faith, mataga baladu masara, is obedience, and obedience is faith. Faith in God. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise that no matter what the enemy seems to have done, we remember your word which says, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. We receive the glory. We believe in every little step and every little word you speak to our hearts. We take possession of your word, which says, go forward. Go forward. Kaba kaba, kaba 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 lada. Kaba 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 lada. Go forward. Go forward, my son. Go forward, my servant. Go forward. Barana kaba sumbala mananda. Hamurana. We give you praise and we give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we want to give your life to Jesus. What to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus to change me and save me. If you are here like that, wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, it's an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. You want to give your life to Jesus? Then pray this prayer with me. Put your hand on your heart like this and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am a sinner. I know I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Please wash away my sins. Make me a new person. Through the blood of Jesus, cleanse me. Have mercy on me. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to serve you. Help me to love you. Help me to obey you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. If you pray this prayer to give your life to Jesus, there is a number on your screen right now. +233 560 333 079. If you want to give your life to Jesus, then please send us a message and we are going to get back. If you are lonely and you need comfort, help, you need a friend, also the same number works. Contact us. Your loneliness is going to be healed. You know, I'll tell you something. I was very lonely when I was in secondary school. I was in boarding school. I had not eaten 99% of the food that were being served in the school before. I went to secondary school. I was 11 years old or 12 years old. I was very small. And there were grown-ups 19, 20, 21 years old. Bullies and wicked people. You know, and I suffered. I was alone. But when I found Jesus, my whole life changed. So although I suffered like a prisoner on Alcatraz Island, you get it? Through Christ, do you see? I've even forgotten those sufferings. I've forgotten the bullying and the beatings and the nights of torture that I experienced on that place because of Christ. So if you are lonely and you are not having happiness through discouragement, I want to encourage you to contact us on this number and somebody is going to talk to you. Christ gives you another family apart from wherever you are. Jesus, the blood of Jesus is stronger than any other blood. And blood connects us as families. So through the blood, we are connected no matter the nations we come from. And that is why whenever you meet a Christian, it's as though you've known each other for a long time. So send us a message right now. Every lonely person, every isolated person, every person who is discouraged, send a message right away. And somebody is going to call you or text you back. Or whatever, somebody is going to do whatever they have to do. And you are going to be surprised. When Christ becomes your family, you know, that's why we talk about, have you given your life to Christ? Are you in Christ, in Him? We are in the family. What a blessing. Amen. All right, at this time, we are going to receive our Holy Communion. So everybody take out your wine, your drink, your bread. Eat His body, drink His blood.
Brothers, sisters, we are one. And our lives have just begun in the Spirit. We are. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now, very soon, we will all be together sharing the Holy Communion practically together. Amen. But I need you to take, don't eat rice now. Don't do these things. I beg you. I don't know why. You know, don't eat anything now. We are having Holy Communion, and then we are going to share Holy Communion, and then we take an open and then we close. Then you can have lunch. You can fry this, fry that, and eat. Go out, whatever. All right?
Obey the little
instruction. That's faith. Amen. Now, take your bread. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Through Jesus, we are saved. We are changed. There's nobody like Jesus. None of us can compare. None of us have anything near Jesus. Jesus, the bright and the morning star. And today we come to the table to partake of the body of Jesus. Whatever is in the body of Jesus will now enter us. And whatever we lack in our physical bodies and in our lives will be imparted to us as we take part of this great body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for the body of Jesus Christ. We honor you, O God, O Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for saving us through the beatings that you received on the cross. Oh, thank you for your mercy that we receive at this time together. In Jesus' name, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, this blood is the eraser. Is the what? Is the eraser. It erases our past, our mistakes, our errors. Lord, thank you for what you did for us on the cross. Lord, you came to die to save us from our sins. Now, Lord, as we come before this wine, we say, declare that this is the blood of Jesus. Let our sins, which are many, be forgiven. Let us be like white wool before you. Let us be like perfect angels before you. Let us be white as snow. Let us be without spot or wrinkle before you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, I want you to lift your hands as I speak a blessing over your life, everywhere, in every continent. The Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, there are certain things that must be said to you. This is how you shall bless the children. Lift your hands. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you from evil. May the Lord be your keeper, your protector, your helper from floods, from hurricanes, from tornadoes, from natural disasters, from earthquakes. May the Lord save you from viruses, coronaviruses, Ebola viruses, and unnamed viruses. In the name of Jesus. The Lord save you from diseases. The Lord protect you from cancer. The Lord protect you from the hospital. The Lord protect you from the surgeon's knife. The Lord protect you from the coffin. The Lord keep you from the grave. The Lord keep you from premature death. The Lord keep you from untimely end of your life. In the name of Jesus, the Lord keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious. Receive forgiveness, graciousness from the Lord, graciousness and forgiveness for your unpardonable sins and your grievous mistakes. May the Lord grant you forgiveness and may he be gracious. May he smile at you. May his face toward you never be neutral, but may he make his face to shine upon thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Whatever has angered God, Madikorika Sandura Miyahandele Mama, to make him look down, may he now look up. May he lift up his face. May anger and frustration with you be turned into joy. May the Lord joy over thee and rejoice over you with singing and with gladness. May the Lord turn your captivity, and may the Lord cause your life to be like them that dream when the Lord turns your captivity around. Whatever has captured you and seized upon you and held you down, I release you from it right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord grant you tranquility and calmness right now in your life. Beginning from today, calmness and tranquility and peace takes over your life. All forms of stress and concerns, unending crises and issues that have no end, are ending in this moment as I speak. The Lord lift up his countenance and reverse his attitude toward you and give you peace. In the name of he who laid in the grave and rose up triumphant after 3 days, I speak these blessings over all that are part of this commission and that are part of this blessing and that are part of this ministry. Thank you, Father, for all that are listening and that are a blessed part of this. Your blessing comes upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.